Testing, testing, 5-0 killer testing. Am I on? Oh, hey, what's going on, people? My family, friends, kinfolk, even my enemies and frenemies who are listening in to do this show, listening in onto my show, who's listening in to hate, who's been anticipating and waiting. I am your man, Skinny Man the Man, and this is Skinny Man on the Rant. And before I start the show off and do a little introduction going into this first actual Skinny Man on the Rant show that I have taken the time to do, first of all, I'm not doing it in the studio like I would love to. I'm doing it from a janky microphone, how I used to do it on the show, how I used to do it on Church of Reality, when I would do little segments and little rants, you know, 10, 20, 30-minute rants at the end of Church of Reality. And that's where Skinny Man on the Rant originally originated from. Prez and myself, actually Prez hit me up last year. That's how long it's fucking taken for me to finally decide to actually do this first episode. And it's not because I actually just said, hey, you know, oh, I'm going to do it now. You know, I got a busy schedule at work. And, you know, along with some other personal things, you know, health issues going on with my pops and, you know, and taking care of stuff like that. I haven't found the time to do the show. That's why I appreciate brothers like Prez and Mac J, who take the time out of their time to do shows like the Murder Master Music Show. Check those brothers out, man. Those are my brothers for life. They've really encouraged me to do this Skinny Man on the Rant show for what they do. I used to have time to do these shows, Murder Master Music Show, from time to time. And also, Church of Reality was my baby that I co-hosted with Prez. And I wish I could do that for more often. And lately it hasn't been at all because my fucking work schedule has been 9 p.m. to 2 p.m. the next day. Two different full-time jobs and motherfuckers be asking me, Skinny, how do you do that shit? How do you work two full? Oh, you stacking up some chips. Oh, man. And then that's when I say, okay, y'all is asking too much. That's my response to when, you know, motherfuckers that I don't want in my business. I say, you're asking too much. Yeah, I saw you riding in that Hummer the other day. Yeah, how much? Actually, it'd be certain motherfuckers who... It'd be your corny ass, nosy ass white boy or white female. Hey, how did you get that Hummer? How did you're asking too much? But no offense, I just gave you a little preview of right there of what the show is gonna, what I'm kind of leading you into. My show is gonna be all over the place. It's gonna touch a lot of segments that that's going to make the hairs on your neck stand up. It's going to make your eyebrow twitch, your eyelid twitch. It's going to make your jaw shiver. Because I'm going to say things that a lot of people don't want to touch on, whether it's racial. And by the way, when I mean racial, I'm talking about subjects that's it's not going to be on a racial rant like, Yeah, you know, this and that, you know, on some racist shit is going to be touching on issues on race that only few people do. And I'm going to do it my way. And we've done it on the Church of Reality before. You've heard it on the Church of Reality. You've heard previews of, you know, myself, Prez, others touch on racial issues. But it's going to be on some other things. Of course, it's going to be on, you know, sexist or sex type things, feminism and things like that. So my show's gonna be touching on a lot of things, the judicial system, everything. But like I said, I'm just thankful for brothers like Prez, Scott Beta for giving me the opportunity to do this recordings for Skinny Man on the Rant. Also my brother Mac J. He's got a show, man, on Saturdays. Underground Saturdays, brother. They hear him and Prez and Valor Rose doing that. Also want to give a shout out to Scratch, man. That's my brother right there. He's putting the artwork. He already did. He put the artwork together for my album, The Living Tribunal, which will be coming out. I know motherfuckers are saying, Skinny, you've been saying that for 2 years now. It was a thought 2 years ago. A year ago, I said I'm working on it. It's slowly getting worked on. Even though lately I haven't been able to put much effort into it at all, but it's still in the works. It's gonna happen. Living Tribunal. I want it to be a special album when it does come out. And just the artwork already. Scratch put in that work for me. He also did the artwork for the show, Skinny Man on the Rant Show. So when you go to the website, go to ugsforlife.com. You'll see all our shows. You'll see Underground Saturday. You'll see the Murder Master Music Show, which Prez does, I think, 2-3 times a week at some time. And then Church of Reality. Also, Scratch has got a little mix that he does every now and then. He'll do where he plays a bunch of horrorcore music, a whole bunch of underground music. He's doing that thing too. I also want to give a shout out to Brandon Patrick, another brother that really shows support, really drives UGS. I mean, nothing could be comparable to Matthew. Rest in peace to Matthew. But Brandon Patrick has put in work to really give us the support we need and is one of the hardcore supporters of our movement. So I want to give a shout out to that brother, Brandon Patrick. He also came with the idea of putting a cipher together on the Dr. Dre beat. Man, we killed that shit, all of us. So that was an idea that he envisioned, and we just had to make it happen. So, when we could sit and put our heads together, for different parts, we each bring different things to UGS. You don't have to be a music artist or an artist or a journalist or an editor, none of that. You don't have to exactly have those qualifications. You just have to bring something to the table. And people like Brandon Patrick has done that far more than anybody could ever claim that they have, that used to be down with us and then now they want to bitch up and want to get back into the fold now because they see we still doing it and their plans have failed. But I ain't going to do a show specifically on that and bashing other motherfuckers. Like I said, my show's going to be all over the place. And one thing I want to touch on, what happened about a week ago, maybe 4, 5, 6 days ago. As everybody knows, social media is an outlet that I'd say 15 years ago was non-existent or it was just coming up. Then you had MySpace, and outlets like that. But once Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all these things started populating and people started feeling important and felt like they could be the news. That's what's going on now. And I definitely appreciate it for what I could do with it. I'm sure a lot of us could, UGS definitely appreciates what we could use it for. But you have other people out here that do some simp sucker ass shit with it. Now, if getting on Instagram or Facebook is for your females, for example, to put on your weave and, you know, and your duck lips and your flyaway eyelashes and, you know, make duck lips and stick your hip out with the butt out and in the mirror with the phone as if while you take the picture in the mirror. I never get that shit. But you do it and then you get those likes because you're half-ass naked. That's fine. That's fine. But lately we've been seeing trends, and whether it's a hoax, and I think people are knowing where I'm going with this, even though it's pretty much dead, and, you know, is as dead as the motherfucker I'm going to be talking about. And I want to get a little into detail and what I think about it, and the little debate, or if you want to call it that, that I got into with one particular person, or associate of associate through a person that they know, and they wanted to come at my comment about it. And like I said, it's cool to have differences of opinion, and that's what it is. I don't trip with anybody. If someone disagrees with me, I don't care. That's cool. But don't get mad at me if I disagree with you. And I wasn't even disagreeing with this particular person until they attacked my comment. So let me get into what I'm talking about. So as everybody knows, unless if you're under a rock, this created person, whether they were MK Ultra, whether they were just having a bad day at the office, whether they fell out with their lady, or whatever the case may be, this guy by the name of Stevie Stevens. How could I forget that? Stevie Stevens, a.k.a. the Facebook killer. And when I mean Facebook killer, I'm not talking about a motherfucker that just goes on Facebook talking their ass off, talking about they gonna kill everybody. This motherfucker, according to himself, was killing motherfuckers. 12 to 14 people from what I hear. So they have this amazing thing that we could do now, which I was going into this social media thing, how people could become somebody. Not only just by taking pictures, but now they have a feature on Facebook that's been on for a while where you could do live stream. You could record yourself live as if you're on TV and motherfuckers could watch you live. That's what Facebook's doing. Now, mind you, Facebook has all these privacy settings and privacy known in the past to have privacy invasion. And if you have instant messaging and stuff like that, which I do have, I used to take it off my phone, but I just left it on. I just really don't care anymore. But you know how they used to be able to monitor you if you had instant messaging? They could go on your phone book and contacts and all that stuff. Whatever the case may be, okay. So privacy issues already has been exposed in Facebook in the past. So Facebook has been trying to set up something for years to invade our privacy and make it okay. So, with this Facebook killer, Stevie Stevens, it had me thinking of a couple things. When you first watch the video, okay, this was a live stream, and this Stevie Stevens dude is a simp. I'm just giving you a rundown for those who were under a rock, under dirt, 6 feet under, talking with the devil or whatever the fuck you was doing. Stevie Stevens does a live feed. He's recording himself live on Facebook. So the video is live and people are watching this shit, and he's talking about how this girl named Joy Lane, which I'll get into in a minute, with the names thing, and how I got into a debate with this female who is the wife of somebody who is on my friend's list. I'm not going to say who or what the occupation is, but, you know, she's bedwinching, which I'll get into that in a minute, too. Because, I mean, I talk about a lot of stuff, and it's going to be offensive to a lot of people. people who know me understand that I'm not talking about all I'm not talking about all Asians, I'm not talking about all Mexicans, all blacks, all whites in a negative way when I'm exposing stuff. Because I fucks with everybody when it comes down to that. You can just look at my friends list. I fucks with everybody. Except the gays. I don't fuck with no gay motherfuckers, that's for sure. But I'm not going to say I'm going to go out and kill motherfucking gay people. I'm just the one that says, hey, you know, get that gay fucking shit away from me. You on some gay ass homo shit. Get the fuck away from me with that. I don't play on that side of the fence with that. So don't, I'm not supporting your movements. I'm not doing any of that. But I fucks with everybody else. So with that being said, while you're listening to the show, just remember that. That fucks with everybody except the faggots. So when I do talk about gays and this and that, yeah, it may be some bigotry behind that. But when it's all said and done, I'm not going to hate you so much to where I want to kill a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Just do your own shit. Don't broadcast it like they're already doing on TV. Ellen DeGeneres and all these other motherfuckers. But back to, while I digress there for a minute, let me get back to what I was talking about. So, Stevie Stevens is doing a live feed. He's talking about how bad of a day he's having. He's losing it. He can't take it no more. He's, you know, he about to kill somebody. As a matter of fact, he killed some motherfuckers already. So he gets on his phone when he's recording. The video that I saw, he's on his phone, which I thought was amazing. Which, later on, after the fact of the video, I did a parody of it. Skinny Stevens. You could go on my Facebook page and see that. Skinny Stevens. But, you'll get where I'm going with the Skinny Stevens once I tell these motherfuckers who are under a rock, under some dirt, what happened. So, he's doing the live feed. Already said that already. He's on some simp sucker shit talking about Joy Lane and he love her, but he can't take it. He can't take her no more. So he's on the phone talking to some guys. Now, mind you, he's recording himself while he's on the phone. So he's driving, holding the phone in one hand, recording himself and driving. So does this motherfucker got three hands or what? He's got one phone in one hand to his ear. He's got another phone in the other hand recording himself. And he's driving the steering wheel. So I found that kind of be funny in the first place as I'm watching this. So then the unexpected happens. He's apparently, the person that he's talked to on the phone, apparently is questioning, is it real? And he's like, oh, y'all motherfuckers ain't. See, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all ain't taking me seriously. You think this shit ain't real? Oh, here's my next victim. You want to see? So he gets out his car, his Ford Fusion. Gets out his car, approaches the 74-year-old brother. And asks him about Joy Lane. He just throws the name Joy Lane out there. And the brother looks terrified, you know. Holds up a bag to defend himself with a bag, suppose, or whatever you want to call it. I'm gonna get to why the debate happened with me and this bedwinching female. So the dude pulls out a gun after he says, "Joy." The older brother, the 74-year-old brother, says, I don't know no Joy Lane. I don't know what you're talking about. And dude pulls out a gun and pops the old man. Now, at first glance, people's like, what the fuck did I just, what's going on? What? Is this real? Is this what? Is this staged? What's the deal? Now, when that happens, because I didn't see it live. I just saw people posting it and, you know, people's talking about it. All of a sudden, within, you know, minutes and even hours, it became the big thing. I'm watching the video over and over again. And I noticed he does a damn Michael Jackson move, like a 360 thriller moonwalk spin after he shoots. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? And by then, you already see people deciphering, as I was looking at it, like, this can't be real. Because number one, people was already putting out memes of, not in a disrespectful way, but in a way that, okay, look at this. They had a picture of the guy laying down, the 74-year-old guy laying down. And the way the blood was laying on the ground, there was no blood on his pants, no blood on him, period. It looked like it came from the bag. And it's laying right across his body. It looked like the blood wasn't even coming from his body. So that's one thing, one picture I saw. The other thing is, then he does another video after that, and he's talking, or I see it after that, I don't know if it was after or before. He's sitting in front of the female's job, Joy Lane, who he's, the reason why he's doing all this. I'm doing this because I'm a simp ass nigga. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, Joy Lane, you know what you did. Yeah, 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 yeah. So, he's doing a video of that. He's got multiple videos talking about what he did or what he's going to do and all that. And he's talking about how to pull, he's going to have to do life, death row. And all this stuff, the cops are going to have to come and get him because that's what it is. He's tired of it. So, days after, and I'm already looking at this like, you know what? If this is real, if this was real, the cops, no questions asked, he's going to end up dead. He's on the run. At the same time, I'm like, okay, why is it taking so long? If he's got a phone, well, he was on the Cricket phone, but he's recording himself with his real phone, I'm thinking. That's how I'm thinking he's doing it. And then he's driving the steering wheel with his dick or something. I don't know. But anyway, so a couple days go on, and I said, you know what? He's going to end up dead. They're going to shoot him, no questions asked, because he's, well, apparently, we never found out that he killed 12 or 13 bodies. It was just he say, he say. At the same time, I start analyzing, and I'm looking at this, and I heard a couple other people talk about this, too. And I said, damn, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I said the same thing. And then other points that I didn't see brought to my attention. I'm like, yeah, sure is, you know. And I'm like, you know what? Something feels like a hoax here. And when it's a hoax, there's an agenda behind it or a reasoning for it. And of course, they're going to use a black face to do it. Now, the hoax is, did this really happen? Now why I started thinking it was kind of weird because, so now let's go into the debate. Because remember just a minute ago, I kind of questioned the names, or I said I would get into that. Stevie Stevens. What kind of name is that? Sounds like a movie name. Joy Lane. What the fuck kind of name is that? And for a black woman, what kind of name is that? So, remember I said that. For a black woman, I thought that was kind of a weird name. Almost like an actor name. A name that you would hear in like the 1950s. Blah, 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 starring Joy Lane and, yeah, or you know, or even just the, and one thing you got to understand about the media and the higher-ups in white supremacy, the elites in white supremacy, they like to do events like this for reactionary causes, because they know a lot of us, especially black folks, are going to react to this. And that's exactly what happened. Because if you had people like me questioning if this was really real or a hoax. And one thing I'd like to mention too, when they showed that family, when they showed his supposed family, if whether it was his family or not, if they really paid them to say what they say, and notice every time, and I noticed this, and I heard somebody else say this too, and I've noticed this in other events, like whenever a mass shooting happens, or, you know, a school shooting, you see these events where I swear I saw that person before in another event, and they interview the same person. They're a fucking actor. Why I say that is, you see too many, and they say some of the same shit. And I've noticed it, and I thought I was tripping at first when I saw this. There's code word. They play with our emotions. They play with us. Like, when, I wish I could play the audio, but like I said, I'm not by a computer. I don't have that set up to where I could play the audio or anything for you. But most of y'all, for the ones that are under a rock, under some dirt, jerking off the devil, and you didn't see this story, they had the family of the 74-year-old victim that they painted. And they had the brother on there crying. Didn't even see a single tear dropping. The female's acting, trying to act as hysterical as she could. And one of the lines they always say is, "This isn't real. It's like a movie." And I've seen them, people, in events like this, tragedies like this, like the airport. Remember that one that was at the airport? It was at LAX a couple years ago, where they had the bomb threats. One, they were practicing for it. They were doing a drill for it, and then, like, a couple days later, weeks, I can't remember how long after, but it wasn't that far after the drills that they, a potential shootout or a bombing happened, supposedly at LAX, a tragedy or whatever, and they got a female that said the same exact thing. "I can't believe I had one shoe on," and the news media or the news reporter kept on saying to the lady, "Oh, you only got one shoe on, yeah, yeah, yeah." And the female's like, "Yeah, I was putting on my shoe, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I heard this noise and we all ran. And it was like it wasn't real. It was like a movie." I get it. So now when I hear trigger, see, that's the thing. A lot of people look at these stories through the peek hole, and they don't look at everything around it. Their peripheral is not looking at the whole story. So, I say that to say this. They have the family on the TV, and then I see another interview with the same family, maybe a few days after, talking about, I wish I could remember the old man's name. But his name even was like, I know his last name was Godwin. His last name was G-O-D-W-I-N, Godwin. Again, these names. You know, it's like, you see this, and people, "Oh, Skinny, stop being a conspiracy theorist. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get the fuck out of here." It is what it is. So, back to what I was saying, then I'm going to get into the debate that I don't even want to call it that but it is what it is. So, I see another interview of the same family, the same guy telling the story, and he has this shaky voice. He's really selling it. Again, I don't see a single tear coming from his eye, but he's sounding like he's playing a role. But a few days later, they're forgiven. And this is one problem black folks have, whether it's part of the act. You saw with Trayvon Martin, the family forgiving Gary Zimmerman, Gary Zimmerman, I'm thinking the fucking football player, the Zimmerman who killed Trayvon Martin. They were forgiving him on the news. That's one thing black folks have been programmed to do since slavery. Since they became Christians. But, like I said, they did that and they're doing it. And it just looked to me like they were playing the role. How much money they got, I don't know. But I'm sure this propaganda, it looked like propaganda to me. I don't have 100% proof. This is just a gut feeling. And we've seen it played out so many times where you see a lot of these stories are hoaxes. And there's an agenda behind it. And I'll get into the airport guy, the Asian dude getting dragged off the airplane in a minute. That's another one that I feel it looks like a hoax to me for something else and for a message. But, so now we're, somebody, one of my Facebook, I don't even want to say friends, I don't know him like that. He's just a Facebook person on my friends list. And I'll just say, yeah, you know, I never had a problem with this dude before. You know, he's closer to some of my Facebook friends than I am. But, you know, he's on the Facebook friend list because, you know, we'll just say it has something to do with music. And mind you, I'm not worried about who people date or whatever the case may be. But if you're acting different because you date someone that's not of your race, then that's when I point out and start calling it for what it is. If you a sister that dates a white guy, but you sit around and bash brothers all day, that's why I call you bedwinches, because you're sitting there sucking a dick and thinking that white man's God, but then you find everything negative to bash black men. The same with black men. I don't care if you date white women, but don't sit there and bash black women if you don't even fuck with them like that. So that's why I call people out on that. Otherwise, I have no problem. I'm born from the product of a white mother and a black father. So I have no problem with who you date or when you date or whatever. But when you start using that and bashing your own people, then that's when I call it out. So, long story short, back to while I digress there, but I just wanted to introduce you to who I'm debating with at this point. So the Facebook mutual friend puts up a post about the media and how it just seems like everything seems like a hoax. I wish I could pull it up exactly what he said, but he put the story in whether it was real or fake. People are grabbing their own opinion. Okay, so particularly people started talking about the Stevie Stevens situation. So, of course, what I already explained to y'all, I kind of do little tidbits about what I said and felt on the post. I put my comment on you, and rarely do I comment on this person's stuff. Like I said, he's just one of them Facebook friends that I don't really associate to or need to talk to or anything, even though we all do music. A lot of my friends do music or some type of whatever. That's just the type of crowd my Facebook list is. With that being said, I comment like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, I think this, and I think something is funny because everybody's like, oh, this is a tragedy. They did that old man like that, and that guy was a simp. Okay, yeah, that's what I said. The guy's a simp or whatever, but look, I said I had questions about this whole story to where I think it seems like a hoax for something behind a propaganda or whatever. I'm trying to look for the words right now because I'm trying to brainstorm what I wrote. But one of the comments that sparked one person, one female, to respond to my comment was when I said, the names are just kind of funny to me. And when I said black women, and this is one problem that black women have. Me, I've always dated black women. And I see the same reactionaries all the time when there's a disagreement. You're the best thing to them in the world. Until you disagree with them, then you're all kinds of names. So, with this situation, I say, Joy Lane doesn't even sound like a real black woman's name. Meaning, the name itself didn't really sound like a real person's name. And I said, and if this Joy Lane exists, how come the media hasn't tried to get at her yet? And I'm just saying all this stuff. I'm like, how come you haven't heard anything from her? How come I haven't seen a video from her yet or an interview from her yet coming out and saying, this is fucked up. Yeah, he was tripping. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This black woman who happens to be married to a white man, which again, like I said, I have no problem with it until you start coming at me questioning, why you say this, or black men are this, yeah, yeah. So she goes, for your information, something, something, whatever. My name isn't a black name. Look at my name. My name is blah, blah, blah. And she had her husband's last name, who was white. I'm like, oh, God, here we go with this. Here comes the Captain Save a motherfucker, female. Black women will come in and save a white supremacist ass when they're trying to kill black men. And it will be a black woman who will come in, leave him alone. Am I really being exaggerative about that? So, I'm like, oh, here we go. Should I just not even respond to this or not? So I do, but I do it in a way because I'm like, I see the last name and I see the last name of the Facebook friend. And I'm like, well, this got to be the wife and this is the wife. Okay. So I didn't turn it into a racial thing. I just said, I'm just saying the names sound fishy. The story has too many loopholes in it. There's a lot of dots that aren't connecting. And I'm just breaking it down. And then she fires back, of course. Yeah, I understand this and that and this. But I know a person of a person of a person that knows this other person that knows that this person exists. And I'm saying, I'm not saying the person Joy Lane in the picture doesn't exist. There's a freaking picture of her. I'm just saying, is Joy Lane really her name and this and that? And she's like, yeah, I know the person of a person who's friend of the dad of the blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so even though you don't know the person personally and you're originally from Ohio or lived in Ohio for how long or whatever they said, I'm like, okay, and on Q, that was the group, and blah, 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 and this and that, and she was trying to break all that down. Pretty much she was almost feeding me the same recycled stuff that the media was putting out there. So instead of me just breaking it down how I told you how she said it and saying, well, I heard that in the media. But she knows a little more than every one of us because she knows a person of a person's person's asshole that knows somebody that used to go to maybe school with them or know them throughout the block. So you know of this person existing through past 10 motherfuckers that it got to you is what she was telling me. So I'm like, okay, well, that's good because at least now I know. But still, the story doesn't add up. The name, how come they haven't gotten to her yet? So once I start asking questions, she starts asking again. She starts going back to the name and you said black women and this and that. So I'm like, okay, so now we're going to get all defensive because I said the name doesn't sound right for a black woman, when in reality, I'm really just saying the name sounds like an actor name. And you've seen it in these stories before in the past where you hear these names and propaganda and all this stuff where they use these unique names. They use very unique names. And the names have messages. And it's a game that the elite white supremacists, the elitists, use. And sit there and laugh and giggle like hyenas. So, that's all I was saying. And I was responding to the post, not necessarily to this person, that person, this person, until she brought it to me. So now, we're going back and forth a little bit. Like I said, I'm not really calling the debate because I felt it was one-sided. Because she was emotionally responding, where I'm breaking it down, saying, hey, this, and that. She's just emotionally saying, well, you're being a conspiracy theory, yeah. And I said, you know what? So then she's going back and forth. And I said, watch this. Watch this sucker move. I bet you, I'm waiting for the sucker move of whoever posts. Because he sees me and his wife going at it. And she's calling me. And another thing they do. Not once did I call anybody ignorant, stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. I don't say that in the debate. But someone who wants to argue will call you ignorant, stupid, shut the fuck up. That's someone that wants to argue and not debate in a respectful manner. So not once did I get disrespectful or irritated, but I did say, you know, watch this dude come on and either come and intervene in this post, or I'll see a post afterwards saying, yeah, people have their opinions, but people take it too serious. Watch. Sure enough, what pops up on my timeline? This dude saying exactly what I called. I foretold the future on this one when he said, oh, you know, I understand people are a conspiracy theory. They take it too serious. Yeah. And I was almost going to respond, but I said, you know what? I know you're talking about me, but it is what it is. I'm not going to worry because I'm not going to stress it, because what I'll do is I'm just going to talk about it on my show rather than type a whole long message. Yeah, I know you're talking about me. You shouldn't have posted it up if you didn't want difference in opinion. And just because your wife disagreed with what I said, now you have to play the role and defend her, which I understand that. I understand that. I don't know you from a molin hole other than you're a rapper. And you don't know me probably at all, but other than producing music and whatever, and I know you don't listen to the shows, but it is what it is. I keep it moving. So I didn't respond. I didn't even post afterwards on my wall saying, you know what, I did say people like to get butt hurt from status, Facebook status or whatever. I just laughed at it because I already called it. Like I said, I already called that he was going to put out a post saying, you know, yeah, people like to be conspiracy theorists or whatever, but okay, you're just playing the role because your wife was trying to get at me in an emotional way, but she wouldn't come politically correct. So I just left it after a few comments, and then she died off, and, you know, nothing was said no more. But that's the point I was making about people through social media. You know, they spend too much time trying to decipher someone else's opinion that is different from theirs. So let me get to the Asian guy that got whooped up on the airport, apparently. So was it United Airlines a couple weeks ago? There was a video floating out there where an Asian guy who was supposedly a doctor. And why I say supposedly is because if people haven't been under the rock, under some dirt, stroking on the horns of the man downstairs. I'm just fucking with y'all, but you know, it is what it is. If y'all ain't heard this story, where the fuck have y'all been? So, apparently, like any other airlines, and it's been going on since the 1950s, 1957, 58, since the airlines have been born. Airlines of all airlines, not just United, but all airlines have always overbooked. This has always been an issue where airlines have always overbooked. Well, apparently there was a video of this Asian man who was apparently a doctor. And I think his name, forgive me if I'm wrong, I can't remember. I think his name was David Dow. David Dow. Vietnamese doctor out of, he was on his way to Louisville, Kentucky. And I kind of joked around at first about this. You know, a lot of my family's from Kentucky. And hey, family, are there really any Asians down in Kentucky? I know there's a lot in Minnesota. A lot among Vietnamese. I know California, there's quite a few, you know, Michigan, you know, places like that. But that's beside the point while I digress there for a second. So this video surfaced on the internet. I saw it on Facebook again. The airlines was asking for someone to give up their seat, and they would give, you know, they would reimburse them, to go on the next flight or whatever the case may be, because they're overbooking. They needed a couple of the flight attendants to get the seats. So no one was giving up their seats. None of the white people that were on the plane were willing to give up their seat. So selectively, apparently, according to what they say the computer did, was generate automatic default or whatever the case may have been, they chose the Asian guy. Now, black folks, I'm going to get on us on a second about this, because this involves us, this involves white folks and Asian folks. Now, you may say at first watching the video, well, what do you mean black folks? You know, it was an Asian guy getting dragged off by police. Yeah, I feel that. They fuck with us all the time. You know, Tariq Nasheed said it best. When issues go on with other folks that are non-black and they're looking for our help, they need to hold their own nuts. But in this case, let me tell you something. So the Asian guy acting belligerent, he's not going to give up his seat. And he let it known. He's not going to wait. He's a doctor. He needs to get to Kentucky, to Louisville, to do emergency, whatever the case may be. He's a doctor. So, he's not giving up his seat, so the police are called to the scene. People are recording. And, long story short, the police are roughing him up a little bit, according to what they're saying. They said they're going to drag him off. So, they're dragging him off, but all of a sudden, all the people on the plane are sympathizing for the Asian man because he's getting dragged off. Okay. At first, when I see this, I'm looking at the video like, okay, and so? Oh, well, this happens to black folks all the time. And no one has any outrage for this. It's about time it happened to somebody else other than a black person. And that's pretty light for what he was doing, getting done to him. But because they saw he had a bloody lip, and it made me wonder, was that planned by the Asian dude to get this? Because as soon as it happened, after it happened, he's talking about a lawsuit. So, anyway, long story short, further investigation showed that the police who roughed him up were three black men. Once that came out, I was like, they're going to go after the airlines. They're going to say there's going to be a lawsuit. There's going to be a boycott. There's going to be all this stuff because white people on that plane were showing so much outrage, yet they were the ones that were give up their seat. But as soon as they saw that the Asian who was a non-black getting roughed up by some blacks who were doing their job, the airlines, all of a sudden they said, oh, well, these three black cops went out of line, out of the job description. And, you know, it is what it is, yeah, yeah, yeah. But guess what happened? People started calling them out on it, and people didn't go for that bullshit. A lot of people didn't fall in line and said, hey, wait, look, this is what's going on. Once they found out that that story didn't really work, and they're being exposed, if anybody remember what happened with the, where was that biking shootout? There was a biking shootout shortly after that, and they didn't really talk about it that much until they found one of the bikers was a, he looked mulatto. He looked like a black and white guy. He looked in, like a mixed black. They showed only his face as if he was the lone shooter against all these other bikers. You see how the media plays that? How they play that card? They will always, if any black people are in the screenshot or near the scene or on the scene or within a certain radius, best believe it's going to be characterized as that the black person was a thug, troubles brewing, the chickens are the roost, home to roost. Come on, man. You see that from a mile away. They didn't rarely talk about any of the other bikers who are majority white and Hispanic. They pulled out the one black, mixed black, mulatto dude and put his face out as if he was the only shooter shooting at all the other bikers. That's how they tried to make that image. So they blatantly now do this in the media. They blatantly try to taint the mind. And see, and this is the stuff I'm talking about and why I talk about it. How this show that I'm doing is going to be racially tense at times. Because when you point out stuff like that, not everybody, even black folks, don't want to hear this. There's some black folks don't even want to hear when people like myself or any other buddy else kind of brings that issue to the table. Oh, you just, oh man, you're making it bigger than what it really is. And that's why we're in the same position we're at then. Because if we sit there and think and we're waiting for acceptance to happen, it's not going to happen. It hasn't happened for years, centuries, decades, centuries. Come on now. And people are still afraid to wake up. That's what it is. People still afraid to wake up. But back to what I was saying about the Dow guy, David Dow guy, the doctor. Once reports started coming out that this guy had a criminal past, this guy had a pharmaceutical, damn, I forgot how many cases. See, I don't have any of the stuff in front of me. I'm just kind of brainstorming what I've read and what I've seen. But this guy had, he had his license revoked, meaning he wasn't a doctor anymore because he was giving drugs illegally and coming to find out one of the people he was giving drugs to, he was doing it for gay sex. So this gay motherfucker was coming to his office. He was giving him all kinds of Percocet and oxycodone and all these painkiller things for gay sexual favors. So this dude was an undercover closet faggot. You know what I'm saying? Once that got leaked out, then the white supremacist elite media said, oh, fuck, they got us. They got us. But you know what? All that stuff doesn't matter. That stuff doesn't matter. So us bringing up the criminal past of this doctor and for like 10 years. It wasn't until this happened in, I think, 2005. So in 2015, he finally got his doctor's license back, but only with certain restrictions. He had restrictions to his doctor's license. He could only do certain things under certain restrictions under the license. They didn't bring that. The media didn't bring that up at first. Too many other people brought it up. And so now the main media, the undercover white supremacist media, came out and was like, fuck, they caught us. So then when the thing happened with the biker thing, they said, okay, you want to play with us in the media? And you may have exposed us. See, a lot of times the media is winning the war or winning the battle. They're winning the battle, but they're losing the war. So then they try to find other things to do, like show the mulatto guy of the biker gang where there's hundreds of motherfuckers shooting out. But supposedly, if you were to show it the way the media showed it, you would think he was the lone shooter shooting at bikers that were white and Hispanic. That's how the media would play that. This was after the Dow, David Dow thing. So back to the David Dow thing. Even though he was Asian, the whites took the side of him and sympathized for the Asian guy. Because it was three black cops. Well, Skinny, you don't know that. You're just assuming. Okay, well, let's just assume this. Let's assume if it would have been three white cops jumping on a black man like that. Oh, whoops, that's happened before. Actually, it happens too many times. And there's no outrage. So on the white people's part, it's false outrage. Because, like I said, anything black, or if black is showing some kind of authority or a little bit of power on something and not being submissive and docile and all these other characteristics that they love to check us in, and I'm talking about white supremacists and white people that support white supremacy, then we're thugs and we're a problem and we're a threat. So that's the examples that you saw with this story dragging out, if you weren't looking through the peephole. If you expanded your vision a little more, you would see everything that I'm saying about this story. Once this doctor, this fake doctor, was exposed as a criminal, or with a criminal past, I should say, and was homosexual and all these things, oh, well, that doesn't matter. Well, how come it mattered when Trayvon Martin was killed by a Zimmerman? Why was there pictures on the internet showing him with gold grills and a gun and all this shit, and now he's a thug? He's a thug. He smoked weed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why does that matter? The boy was killed. Why was child support brought up with the brother in California, in Oakland, or was it California, when he was shot? They said, oh, he was behind on his child support. Why was that brought up? Why was that an issue? That shouldn't have mattered. The brother was killed. This fucking chink was dragged off of the fucking airplane, and it matters all of a sudden that it doesn't matter. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter that he has a criminal past, pharmaceutical, of all things. On a corporate level, this guy was a criminal on a corporate level, but it doesn't matter that he had that past. This guy was beat up by three black cops. See that? So with that being said, now I'm going to speak directly to the black folks. Black folks need to get on code like everybody else does. Did you know that when that happened, even though the guy's Vietnamese, even though the David Dow is Vietnamese, I remember seeing something that they tried to say that maybe they had the wrong David Dow. This is when they got caught. Then they tried to cover it up by saying, well, maybe we didn't find out that there was the David Dow. How many David Dows really are there in Kentucky? It's not like his name was John Johnson or Jack Johnson or Brian Williams, where there's a lot of Brian Williams and a lot of these same name motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? So, David Dow, that's not a common name in America. So, that I mean, they tried every little trick in the book that they could to try to cover up their mistake and their exposure being exposed, and they got exposed heavy. So that's what happened. So they tried to cover it up, and we still saw through that shit. So then they came out with other, they'll come out with another news story that's got legs. So back to what I was saying while I threw that in there and digressed away from what I was saying. Black folks, we need to get on code because, like I said, the Asians in China and other places that are Asian countries, even though the guy's not Chinese, he's Vietnamese, they still supported him as one of them because he looks like us. He may not be us, but he looks like us. Therefore, he is us at this moment. We're going to stay on code. Because that could have been one of us. And that's the Chinese man talking. One thing about black folks, we don't do that with each other. We don't do that at all with each other. Instead, we were sympathizing with the Asian dude saying, you know, they shouldn't have did that. Yeah, they shouldn't have. They went overboard. You sounded just like the crybabies who were on that airplane. And whether some of them were actors or not, I don't know. But that's another thing I could assume. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm not oblique or blind to the possibility that that whole thing was staged. A hoax. And again, it was through social media that the story really, really blew up. So, I mean, you have all these. And then, right after that happened, I saw another one where a white lady was with her stroller, a baby stroller, or baby carriage, or whatever. And you know, those things do not go on the area where you can fold it up, put it. That thing's too big. So she kept it in the aisle. And the flight attendant said, well, you sorry, ma'am, you have to move that. So then here she comes with the outrage. And all of a sudden, this guy comes out of nowhere who I believe was a priest or a preacher or something. He came out, said, you want to do something? You want to fight? Yeah. You want to, like, he was going to kick the man's ass, the flight attendant's ass, and threaten a worker. Now, mind you, again, the flight attendant was just doing their job, just like the three black security cops for United Airlines. And remember what they said when the three black cops pulled the Asian guy off the plane. They overstepped the boundary. Now, all of a sudden, because everybody on the plane was mostly white, and it involved white flight attendants and security or whatever the case may be. Now the customer was out of line. And they were doing their job. Talking about the people that was trying to detonate the situation. They were threatened. All this stuff. When the Asian guy was being just as irate and saying he wasn't leaving and fighting and, you know, he fell and now he's bleeding. Those three black cops were light on that guy compared to what they're doing to black men on the streets. And there's no outrage for that. I bring this up all the time, especially with the Aaron Hernandez thing. Now, this motherfucker and this story as well makes me wonder what the real deal is. They say that he hung himself. And people, and I'm telling you, when I'm so serious when I say this again, and it's the white supremacist who believe in holding other races down for their benefit because of their inferiority in thought and physicality, or whatever the case may be. So they use their power, resources, and money, finance, spirituality, all these other things to empower themselves and hold down everybody else. They'll even hold down the common white folks. They'll hold down everybody so they benefit from it just because of their belief. With that being said, with the Aaron Hernandez thing, him supposedly hanging himself. Yeah, I said supposedly. Because what I think happened, and again, this is just my opinion, this man killed three black men, but he got off for killing. He got off of the two, and it was possible he was going to get off, period. They were working on that next. So what happens? He ends up dead, and white supremacists tell us that, oh, he saw his daughter in court, and something with the New England Patriots contract that he had, upwards total of $15 million, that if he dies, or if he were to die, his daughter or his family would get his contract, would cash out on his contract. So they made it look like he was being a hero by killing himself because he thought about his family. Wow. And this is what I mean about the Negro bed wrenching again, and the female that was supporting him. Now, mind you, Aaron Hernandez, one of the guys that he killed, the bed wench that he was sleeping with, her sister was dating one of the men. I forget the guy's name, but her sister was dating one of the men. So when they're in court, she's in there crying and sobbing, but the female, the bed wenching female, who was with Aaron Hernandez, was blowing kisses, saying, "I love you," all these things. Okay? So, that's why I attack the Negro bed wenches the way I do. Not because specifically they're dating white men, because of their actions that they do. They find ways to attack it, even if it's their own family. But enough about that. I think what happened, because I've never been in prison before, and I'm only going by what I've heard from people that have been in prison, who I know personally. Don't ask me how I know them personally, but I know, a couple people. Plus, you see it too many times in the movies. But if the prisons can reach to the streets, and the streets could reach to the inside of the prison, who were to not say that some brothers in the prison heard that, okay, this motherfucker here killed three black men, he's getting off of two, and possibly he may get off this third one if he just waits it out a little bit. And they made it sound like Aaron Hernandez couldn't wait any longer, that if he gets out, he wouldn't get that money, so the only thing to do was to kill himself, and he's a hero in the white supremacist's eyes. And the white supremacists tried to make all of us think that he was being a hero for killing himself, thinking about his daughter. Bullshit. I think some brothers in the prison got at his ass, killed them, and the prison had to cover it up by saying he hung himself. Almost sounds like Sandra Bland, doesn't it? She hung herself. She couldn't take it no more because, this and that and that and this, and and the hoax was that really they probably beat her to death. But and then, remember the pictures and all that stuff. But they said she killed herself. Give me a break. So that was the prison's way to cover up that they didn't protect Aaron Hernandez. So the better way to do it was to say he hung himself. Oh, yeah, I'm saying it all. You didn't think that this show was going to be like this. Well, guess what it is? It's a difference in opinion. It's my opinion. It is what it is. If you don't like it, stop listening. But this is the shit that on Facebook that I get flack for sometimes. I've even, in past, in the way I'm doing this show, there's been times I've done these same posts on Facebook and I get banned for 3 days. I get put in Facebook jail. So again, that's why I appreciate everybody in UGS, my brother Prez, Mac J, Scratch, and Brandon Patrick. I appreciate all those brothers, man. And they're white, black, and a little bit of everything. So when I talk the way I talk, I'm only talking the real. And I don't think any of those four brothers would have it any other way. With that being said, there's another issue that I like to go on. As everybody knows, well, I'm not even going to get into that. I could say that for another show about the weave shit. Because a lot of people know me for that, too. Exposing these sisters who be wearing the weave. But I guess, no, you know what? As a matter of fact, I am going to get into that. Because it's going to go back on to, and people, and I know sisters, brothers, one thing I notice about brothers, or men in general, let's just say men in general. Most men, I should say. Most men. If another man criticizes what men are doing, whether we're on a black issue or an all-man issue, we could sit there and say, hey, you know what? He has a point. I'm going to work on that. Or, brother, you have a point. I may not agree with everything you say, but I agree with you on this. Or, you know, that's real game. I'm really with it. And be sincere about it. You say one thing about a female, and particularly I know for a fact sisters, because a lot of times that's who I interact with, they get butt hurt. They get offensive. You're bashing them. You're a womanizer. You're all these things. Excuse me. So, that's one thing that sisters have to work on. And I understand y'all are emotional. You can't take credit. And one of the things I've noticed that sisters are doing now, or they've been doing it for a while, is saying that black men need to step up and be protectors. Where are the black men to protect us? Okay. You have a point there, but let me point something out. During the 1960s, during the Civil Rights Movement, I'm getting into the times before I was born. During the Civil Rights Movement, black men and black women were united for black rights. It wasn't until white women came in and had problems with white men, and they had issues and they needed numbers. So they didn't mind having black women side by side with them, saying, we as women want equal rights too. So while black men and black women were looking for equal rights or acceptance, white women were looking for the same thing for some reason. They were falling off cold of the white supremacist views, and they were looking out for themselves. So they took apart the civil rights movement with the black man, black woman unity, and they took the black women away from us. So black women focused on women issues. They wanted equal rights, sex equal rights. For women. So while black women were still kind of, you know, well, black, civil rights, they slowly fell away from that. And I think part of the work, is a lot, everybody knows that COINTELPRO is the big point of it. And they're part of it. But also the white feminist movement was the other part of it. Another part of it. So black women went into this from 1 minute were civil rights for black rights, this and that, to all of a sudden now they're women's rights. Whereas women's rights, yes, that's what they're for, but they weren't for black women's rights. Believe that. Because black women were still getting the bullshit, but at the same time, they started feeling like they didn't need the black man anymore. Because then this is when the white supremacists or elitist government said, hey, we got something here and it's working. We could give these women, you know, these extra programs, welfare, and all these different things to where they don't need the black man, to where the black man can't tell them shit. They'll have to come to us and depend on us. So what happens? The black women bite the bait. They bite the bait and agree to the contract that if you're going to be on welfare, you can't have a black man in the house. Though you could have as many kids as you want, and we'll give you more, but we just want you to, which is weird because when you think of depopulation, and depopulating people, period, but especially black people, they want to depopulate the black people because we're having babies. And I'm just spitting out truth. This isn't a bash on black people. This isn't a bash on white people or any people, period. But when you look at America and the world, white people are having a negative birth rate, meaning their death rate is higher than their birth rate. These are true stats. I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to gloat anybody. This is a true stat. So when you think about white supremacy, they're slowly dying off. You don't notice it, but when you don't have a birth, when you have a birth rate that's negative, you're having more white people dying off of old age versus people having babies. That's why I work at a hospital. So I know what I'm talking about when I say this, and because I see it. That's why I see a lot of white women, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but 90-something plus percent of the time, the females that are getting these fertility shots to have multiple babies, it's white women. And that's a true stat, and that's a fact that I see because I personally work at a hospital. I personally go up to the mother-baby units and draw their blood and run the test, and I see that a lot of these women are having these tests to have multi, they get these shots to have, the increase their chances of having twins and triplets. That's a true fact. So it's not me making it up. It's not anybody else making it up. It's a true fact. So when they're trying to slow down the birth rate of black people through abortions, through all these other, things, putting drugs in the black community, talking about the government, talking about the CIA, all these things, locking up black men in prison so these black women can't sleep with black men. That's another thing. So black women, when you're calling up the police and saying you get in a disagreement with your black man and you have a disagreement with them and you're calling the police, they're going to throw the brother in jail. And no other black person is going to bail them out. So, when you sit there and say that, where are the black men? They're always going to prison. Half the time, the black men commit crimes. Yes, they do. Just like white women, just like white men, just like everybody else. But black men, a lot of times, are either going in there for petty offenses, for the most part. You have your killers out there, no doubt. But a lot of them are in there for drug charges. Some are in there for domestic disputes because you said he hit you. And that's always not the case. So, and then you want to get mad when a black man dates a white woman. Or a black man fags up and starts going with dating men. You get mad at that, yet everybody congratulates you when you get a white man and have a baby and do all that stuff. Hey, yeah, swirl time! Swirling! It should be congratulated then. I ain't no bed range. Don't be calling me that. If I see another black man calling sister of bed wench because of this, I'm going to delete you because this is during slavery. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When I laughed and saw that comment from one of my close Facebook friends, I'm not going to say your name out there, sister, but when I saw that bullshit comment you said, and I don't think I've ever used that word on social media, so I know she wasn't talking about me, but she did question me why do I hate when black women wear weave? And I said, I don't hate when black women wear weave sometimes. I just hate when they depend on it 100% of the time. And she gave me a thumbs up and said, okay, thank you for explaining that. And now I just explained it to y'all why I talk about that. But I'll talk about weave on a different show. That's a whole different subject right there. Because I'm going to wrap it up soon. And I feel like I've talked your ear off enough or ranted enough. But that's what the show is going to be. I'm going to rant like that from time to time. And I'm going to get on a roll. And you may walk away for 2 minutes to get your fucking cup of coffee or roll up a blunt in the kitchen. And I might be talking about one thing. And the next minute you're like, well, how the fuck do you get on to this? So you can't walk away from the proximity of your radio to where you can't hear it. Because 1 minute, like I said, I could be talking about cops killing black men or cops killing babies or something. And the next minute, I'm talking about the drug epidemic, or I'm talking about this or that. That's just how it is. Because I'm just ranting off the top of my head, really. I don't have a script. I don't have anything written out saying, hey, this is what I'm going to talk about this time. But now I'm really starting to think, is there anything else I need to get off my chest before I cut this mic off? Probably not. So, I feel like it's time for me to end it. I thank y'all for listening to me spit game to you, because that's what I'm really doing. I'm just spitting the game how I feel or what I see. I don't think I really finished on my point. No, I didn't finish my point on why I feel it's kind of crazy that sisters are saying black men that disappear. So yeah, let me finish that before, the way I want to before I leave here. So like I said, it starts as the civil rights movement, then the black women go on to, form up and collaborate with the white feminists. And white civil rights movement, the females, and they team up. So now they don't need a man anymore. So now here's that language. I'm a strong black woman starts coming out. I'm a strong black woman. I don't need a man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't need us, remember? Late 70s, early 80s, 80s, 90s. All you hear was, I'm a strong black woman. Who gets welfare from the government? Who gets education from the government? Who gets a job through the government? Yet, who gets child support from the government? Raping the daddy's pockets because they slept around with the man who was no good, or that they say is no good. They ran the man off, or the man ran away, whatever the way you look at it. They get compensation for that. Men, black men, white men, we don't get compensation for sleeping with women other than the pleasure of busting a nut. White women got, white women, black women, women in general got the system in a headlock until daddy says, okay, now, you still don't have any men in the house, right? You're following the rules, ma'am, right? So they'll rape the man, put the man in jail if he's behind or doesn't pay child support for a baby that is his or may not even be his. Yet let the role reverse and the mom is not a suitable parent and the father is. And I've seen cases where the father is fighting for the son or daughter or the kids, has a steady job, has a steady income. All the mother has is a can of fucking beans in the cupboard, and they'll grant the mother who has the can of fucking beans in the cupboard as the primary parent, and the father has to pay the child support. Well, how do you like that fucking rule? So I don't want to hear that women, whether you're white or black, have it harder than anybody else on this planet, because that's a bunch of bullshit. That's a crock of fucking shit. And then you see all this fake outrage from black women, especially. Kendrick Lamar. I don't even have to go into that. People know that. He made a song about stretch marks and shit, and black women found a way to attack him, saying he's being disrespectful, he's being sexist and misogynist, and all these words that they were using. Women, and especially, I know for a fact, black women find a way to complain about anything when black men do something that they don't agree with, or even if they're doing right, they still find a way to disagree with it. And they tell black men to watch out for white women. Yet a lot of them are doing the same thing. So that just further lets me know it's a woman issue. Through emotions. Yet when these Asian men are beating your ass in the nail salons, the hair shops, beating your fucking ass, dragging you, doing some Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan on your ass, you want to ask, where's the black men? They ain't got our backs. They ain't protect. They need to protect us. Protect you from what? Protect you from the motherfuckers you support. Because the next day, when the Asian men are beating your ass in the nail shops, you still have black women showing up. Supporting it. So why should we put our life on the line to protect someone who hasn't been one been protected, who was strong for the last 30, 40 years, didn't need a man for the last 30 plus years, and all of a sudden now you need us again? Really? Really? With that being said, I think I'm gonna end the show, otherwise I'll be here all fucking day. But I'm your man, Skinny Mane. I'ma call it. I've done almost an hour and a half of this shit. I'm glad y'all was able to listen. Peace.